Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, where all these people come from? Pastor, when we walked in here, it was a few people. We're going to collect offering again at the end. I'm so grateful to be in God's house today. I want to say that I'm not afraid of this virus. At all. I'm not afraid at all. I do know that we have to take precaution. We do. I do understand that it's important for us to, you know, I'll get in my car. I put on my seatbelt. My windows are tinted, so it doesn't matter what the officers would say. The thing is, I put it on because it has a high safety rate. That more than likely, if I get into a car accident, I'll be saved because I have on my seatbelt. Are you with me? So I know that there are churches, my conference have suspended all church altogether. But you Caribbean people, boy, you're going to have it anyway. I called my brother. He lives here in the Bronx. Testing. 1, 2. This one's better? All right. He said, man, you better come down here. The people going to be in church. I said, are you sure they're going to be there? They're going to be there. They're going to be in church. Trust me, they're going to be in church. So when I turned in today and I saw all the cars, I said, this is impossible. I can't believe these people are here. But you know how you mix your Cersei tea and all that things. So, you know, y'all not worried about them things. You're not worried about that. Oh, you ask me how I know? Oh, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. The two people that bore me come from Jamaica. One from Mandeville, one from St. James area. So we know how to get well without, we don't need the government stuff to get well. We're okay. But not the ganja, okay? Not that. Not that right now. We'll talk about it later. I'm grateful to be in God's house. I am. I'm happy to be here. We were supposed to be here for a week, Pastor. And I was prepared to be here for a week, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back because Chana Smith, am I saying your name right, Chana Smith? We geared up for war against Satan. That's why we're here. We geared up. So there were certain things I didn't watch before I came here. Come on, hypocrites, stay with me now. If you're going to wage war, you got to be ready for war. And I'm thankful for Doctor for inviting me here, being able to be here. But I'm going to speak today and I'm going to speak next week. It's not part one and part two. It's what you get now, how you live through this week, and what you get next week. Are we together? And I'm sorry, I'm really sorry we couldn't go through it together, but it's going to happen again. I am positive it's going to happen again. And God also allowed this thing to happen amongst the people of God, because we ain't ready. If you thought I came for entertainment, you came for the wrong reason. We're not ready. Just as quick as they're closing down schools, they can close down churches. Are you listening? The problem is that we no longer teach this thing the way we used to teach it. I'm going there. Listen, the one thing, Brother Smith, the pastor, none of them asked me how much it costs for you to come here. No, it's zero. No, I didn't charge you to be here. If I charge you to be here, I'm going to say what you want me to say. And that's a hefty price to go to hell. But I'll take $10,000 to say what you want me to say. But I'm not going to do that. Anytime we get up on this pulpit, Pastor, is we're between life and death. And I want you to understand this, that we have lost our way. That's why our young people are acting the way they're acting now is because, listen to me, is because of my age group. It's the Gen Xers. I'm going to preach. Give me a second. It's the Gen Xers. I'm 49 years old. Those of us who are between these age, we're the ones that allow our kids to do what they want to do. We gave them rights when our parents didn't give us rights. We had to be in church. We had to go to Pathfinders. We had to go to Adventurers. We had to do these things. You know why it's getting quieter and quieter? Because you also know that you allow your kids to decide to do whatever it is that they want to do. That's why it's getting quieter. It was loud at amens in the beginning. Then it started to peter away. We got to get back to the days of where Sabbath school is more important than 11 o'clock worship hour. Oh, now it's quiet. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? Where it's full during Sabbath school, because that's the time when we are teaching the word of God. Oh, I'm not taking away from the pastor and the pastor preaching up here. People are not drawn 100% by a 45 minute to an hour sermon, however long he preached. The point is this, that Sabbath school, devotion at home, makes us the people of the book. Are we together? I can see some people already upset. It's all right. It's all right. Father, I ask you to be with us just a little while longer. I ask you to fall afresh on us. Make us a new one this blessed Sabbath day. When you come, we ask you for you to save us in your kingdom throughout eternity. In Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Pentecostal Adventists. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray. Amen. Amen. I'm so grateful for the song that was sung. Beautiful song that was sung. She you heard what she said. She said, I'm Church of God. You didn't hear what she said? We Church of God too, you know. No, we are. If you got a problem with that, somebody let me know. We're Seventh-day Adventists, but we Church of God. We Baptists too. Mm-hmm. No, don't start that Pentecostal. Don't tell me you're Pentecostal, because we don't know. We don't know how to praise him when it's time to praise him. Okay, we're Pentecostal too. No, we are. And I'm not making fun. This is what I love about Seventh-day Adventism. Seventh-day Adventism is a movement. We keep moving with the times. Are you understanding where I'm going? That is the reason why we're not falling apart over Corona. No, don't tell me shouldn't. We're not falling apart over Corona. Don't forget, in the time of old, when pestilence was upon Egypt, God gave them instructions. Y'all not hearing me. You said you were Pentecostal, but you're not hearing me. God gave them specific instructions. What you need to do is take the blood, right? And you take the blood and you cover it over your household. And when you cover it over your household, go inside there and sing some hymns you never heard before, like We Speak of the Realms of the Blessed. When I saw that song go up, I said, ooh, y'all still sing hymns? No, I don't have a problem with new songs and CCM type songs. But sometimes you got to go back to that old type song that get us really flowing into it. You know, I'm talking about them old songs. Don't forget the Sabbath. Come on, are you with me? And those great old songs are important to us. That's why one day there's going to be a time when they'll take those things from us, but we still got to have it up here. Listen, I know somebody said, but this is youth day. Why are you speaking like that? Because I don't have youth sermons. There's no such thing as youth sermons. You see, Christianettes, sermonettes make Christianettes. Y'all ain't hear me. When they go to the club, they dance for 2, 3, 4 hours. Nobody have a problem with it. They watch sports for 2, 3 hours. Nobody have a problem with it. Super Bowl is on. They sit down because the commercials are greater than the Super Bowl. And we don't have a problem with it. Everybody sit down and listen to the word of God. This is why you came today. You came to worship him. No, really, that's why you came. Not for the sermon, not for the children's story, not for to hear the singer sing. That's not why you came here today. We came here to worship him. Oh no, I want you to understand this, but if you ain't worshiping him at home, then you came here for entertainment. This is an extension of what you do at home. Are we together? Young people, listen to me carefully now, because I want you to understand this is your church. This is your church. The problem is that we have dropped the ball along the way. And we're going to fix it. Because if Adventism should be around for another 50 years, we in trouble. No longer are our children understanding what it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I just be honest with you? No. Are we going to be family? Mm-mm. And there's only 4 of you that said it. So I'm not ready. Are we going to be family? No. Because the reason why I'm here is for us to be delivered. See, I grew up in a Caribbean household. See, you got quiet. Only heard like 2 people say, And I've learned how to worship the way my parents worship. The way that I worship young people, y'all don't worship that way we worship when I was growing up. When I was growing up, you hear me, everybody? When I was growing up, worship was 7 o'clock in the morning. Somebody said 5 o'clock. So I missed it by 2 hours. And 8 o'clock at night. And you went through the whole Sabbath school lesson. Children and adult. Are you with me? Our household was the kind of household that even if they didn't believe in God, they believed in religion. Uh-oh. Come on. Listen where I'm going here with this. Doc, stay with me on this. This is why we are where we are right now, because my parents taught me how to be a good Adventist. But we were not connected to Christ. And then now we're passing on the same thing. Now our children are asking us questions. The questions we wanted to ask, but we didn't want to lose any of these. Yeah, young people, you ask questions now. We couldn't ask those type of questions back then. I grew up in a household where we didn't even cook on Saturday. Let's not talk about Friday night worship. Friday night worship started before sunset. Look at them. They're looking at me like, what? And you went to a 2-hour, 3-hour worship. You opened up the hymnal, whether it was the Christen song. All right, only a few people. You all are new Adventists then. You must be new. The Christen song, or whether it was the new hymnal or the new hymnal. That's in my lifetime. We had 3 hymnals in my lifetime. And your father would go through the whole thing. And if you didn't know it, he would track it. Y'all don't even know what tracking means. No, never mind. He would track it and everybody had to sing with him. Come on, are you with me? This is how we grew up. And the one thing that I wanted to be able to, before I get into the word of it, I want you to understand that we don't worship the Queen of England. But we learned from the Church of England. Are you listening? And so our worship style looks like the Church of England, the British style, Church of England. We're trying to teach the next generation Church of England. They don't want to hear Church of England. Give them Christ. I'm now learning how to get rid of tradition. I'm learning to be spiritual. It's very difficult. No, it's very difficult. I'm learning, you know, when we were growing up, the Bible, you couldn't put anything on top of a Bible. Listen, what I'm trying, I know I'm trying to fit everything into the week that I wanted to put together, but I want you to understand this, especially our young people, God is bigger than the Adventist church. Now, wait a minute. Don't run out of here talking about this guy is talking about the Adventist church in a bad way. No. The Adventist church is the vehicle that God is using because, and I say this emphatically, everybody else stopped somewhere. So we shouldn't even be called a church. We should continue to be called a movement. Come on. We're not like everybody else. Our children shouldn't be like everybody else. We don't have the same fears like everybody else had fear. Are you with me, everybody? I wanted to take you here because when I think about Rise and Walk, when I think about that man that was laying there for 38 years, we automatically think in our mindset that he was 38 years old. He was not 38 years old. He had his infirmities for 38 years. It scares me. And the reason why it scares me, because when I think back, doctor, when I think back with the children of Israel who left Egypt and went into the promised land. Are you with me, everybody? Do you know that there were people who went to the Red Sea that said, take me back to Egypt? There were literally people who left slavery and said, man, it was better when we were in slavery. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on. I'm going to say something. Don't get mad at me. Why you think Caribbean people love oxtail? Uh-oh. We the one that call it delicatessen. That was the part of the cow that they gave us. Oh, boy. Hey, I got to go. I hear people whispering. I'm going to wait for a little while. No, did you hear what I just said? No. I'm not vegetarian. I'm working on it. But do you understand what I mean by we adapt things, pick it up, turn those things around, right? Rich people don't eat oxtail. Listen to me. Don't fix it. Listen to me. Saints, don't fix it. Don't fix it. Stay with me. Don't fix it. We made it good. We made it great. We took something that they gave us that they would have normally thrown out, and we made the best of it. Listen, now, this is not about oxtail. What it is about is how much we stay in slavery. How much we want the old stuff and not recognizing that God has prepared something great for us. Listen to me. When we got to this point, when the children of Israel got to a certain point, God had to take out everybody that came from Egypt. Come on, stay with me, doctor. If I'm off track, let me know. He could not trust those from Egypt to go into the promised land. That means everyone that went into the promised land, doc, was 40 years old and below. Come on, think. Think, remember, everybody went, right? Everybody went. Nobody made it through. Am I right? Come on, let's do the math. Nobody, except for two, am I right? Except for two, Joshua and Caleb, were the only two that made it in. Besides them, everyone died in that 40-year span. So the only ones that made it in the promised land was those who were born in the wilderness. 40 years old and below. Are you still with me, everybody? Don't get upset because we're moving through this thing. I want you to be able to understand that we're going to teach, and we need to teach our children the same principles. But find new ways. The Sabbath is always going to be the Sabbath. It'll never move. The Sabbath is just what it is. Come on, saints, you with me? Come on, don't fall apart now. You see, one thing we don't like rebuke. We don't like rebuke. But the only way for the Adventist church to make it to the next realm is to teach our young people the principles of what we had and teach it in a new way. Don't ask me what the new way is. But make sure whatever you do, you teach what? The principles must be correct. Must be right. Now, we don't go out and shop on Sabbath. No, we don't wear any and everything. We don't listen to everything. We don't watch everything. Boy, I wish I had this week to tell you. I'm coming back. I wish I had this week to tell our young people, don't just tell them not to do A and not to do B. Half of y'all did the same thing they did. First, you have to admit that you've been there. Listen, I was at a church. I just got into the church. You know, when you first get to a church, all the troublemakers come to the pastor. First get to the church, they pull me over to the side. Pastor, sister so-and-so. She had a baby out of wedlock. And we did nothing about it, you know. I said, okay, well, I'm going to go speak to her because I still believe in discipline in the church. I still believe in it. So I went to talk to the lady. I said, sister, you know, we got to keep order in the church. She said, Pastor, I know what you're coming for. Let me introduce you to my son. He's 25 years old. I know we can laugh about it, but you know something? We do evil. And our children see us. We talk about the pastor like a dog on the phone. And then we see him on Sabbath and our young people see us. Hey, pastor, blessings on you. And our children automatically form. Come on, come on. They put inside their minds, what a hypocrite. We talk about sister so-and-so on the phone to sister so-and-so. Brothers do it too. We do it too, but we do it a different way. And you come to church, happy Sabbath, God bless you. Oh, God, so good to me. And our children watch us through that. And what ends up happening is that they form an infirmity. They form an infirmity that nobody tackles for years and years and years. Nobody thinks about it for years and years. Can we go to the Bible part about this? Stay with me, young people. Can we go to the Bible part about this? Let's go to Jesus is finished Passover. Now, here's the point. Those of you who have a relationship with Jesus can understand this healing. If you only go to Jesus, young people, when there's a problem, then Jesus performs magic. Doctor, stay with me here because you're sitting right in front of me. I want to make sure this is right. When things go wrong, as they will go wrong, and you pray about it, you put God on a Key Food or a Pathmark shelf. We have Key Food, Pathmark here? Okay, both. You put him on a shelf. So you walk into the store anytime you need him. Come on, are we together? Children or young people start to look at God as though he's a grocery store. When you have a relationship with God, you recognize that whether you're happy or whatever you're going through, whether you're broke, it doesn't matter what it is. He still covers you. He's still in charge of you. Come on, you know what that is. But hold on, older people. You know that now. You're saying amen because of experience. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen people healed. You've seen people that have cancer that you prayed for and they got well. And listen to me, young people. Just listen to how we're talking through this. We've been broke before we had money. Oh, look at the hypocrites. Y'all used to walk school, no shoes on. Come on, walk 4 miles, go to school and go through gully and all this kind of foolishness. You've been through these things before. Come on, right? Listen, don't act like you've never been there. Now you have your big house and you drive your Benz outside and not returning tithe. You understand what I'm saying? No. But for real, you have seen God take you from one place to the other, from another place to the other. Come on, somebody, I need a witness here on this one. God has graduated you from one thing to the other. What we need to do is to show our young people that is the same exact God. He'll carry you through no matter what it is. When one of these young people have a problem with their girlfriend or their boyfriend, don't look at them and say, oh, that's just puppy love. They feel the same hurt you felt back in the day. Same exact hurt when things are not working out and they can't do this, can't get that, can't get together. Don't brush them off. Not only should you tell them the right thing to do, introduce them to Jesus. No, I really mean that. Yeah? Oh, yeah, things are not working out between you and your girlfriend. Talk to God about it. Learn to stop and do something that we've never done before. Pray about the situation right in front of them so they recognize that God is real. I want you to see something now. The disciples looked at Jesus as a magician. Jesus is a magician. Can you imagine what it's like to be at a wedding and the juice ran out? Okay, y'all want me to use the real world word, but I'm not. You're not going to get me. Mm-mm. Jesus said, go fill this up with water. And when he filled it up with water, he tapped it and it became drink, juice. I'm not listening to any one of you. Let me see who's talking about wine here. We're going to disfellowship them. No. Listen to me, young people. This is it. This is it. Jesus, you can't look at Jesus as a character anymore. Come on. Let me just talk to my young people for a second. Jesus is not a superhero type character. You taught us that too much. He's God. I can't explain it. Don't ask me to explain it. The Bible said it, so I'm going to have to deal with it just like that. The bottom line is that Jesus is God. The reason why God sent him here, because he needed to know how we feel. Am I right? Am I right, Pastor? He needs to know how we feel. You see, God understands, but Jesus knows. Man, that's a big deal right here, boy. That's a big deal. So no matter what you do, young people, no matter what you're going through, nobody understands, but not God in this situation. Nobody understands, but can I talk about spirit of prophecy here in this church? We could do that. Desire of Ages, chapter 1. That's what Emmanuel means. He came down here so that when you hurt, he could say, God, I know how that feel because I've hurt too. Can you imagine having a lawyer who could say, I understand what he's going through? Y'all not hearing me? You see, you're Adventists. Come back to Pentecostal. Listen to what I said. Can you imagine having a lawyer that know what you've been through and he take off his lawyer stuff and then get on the judge seat and put on the... Y'all not... You still didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. You still Adventists. Let me say it one more time. Can you imagine having a lawyer who's fighting for you and he takes off his lawyer gear, puts on his judge gear, and judge what he's already fought for you about? That looks like a winning ticket to me. That looks like a non-guilt. And when we are still guilty, I'm going to the end of the sermon, but I'll be back. He puts his blood over our foolishness. Man, you're not here. That's why, young people, I grew up thinking that if I sin, I'm going to hell. Our parents taught us that. You know, let me give you an example. When I was growing up, they taught us that if you go to a club, Jesus and your angels sit on the outside of the club. Y'all quiet now. Look at that. I even see some old people saying, yes, it's true. Listen, your angel does not sit outside of a club playing Candy Crush waiting for you to come back out. Come on, young people. They're looking at me like, then what does he do? Let me tell you what he does. He's right there with you. I mean, sitting with you. You didn't like me doing that just now. Sitting with you. No matter what, he's there. Okay, don't get mad because I would have said this over the week, and I'm going to tell you now. You're doing something that you should not be doing. I'm talking to my young people now. Y'all have a conversation while I talk to them. No, you know what I told them? You know why? Because we don't say this. If you're even messing around sexually, say that. It don't hurt. Say it. Sexually, you know your angel is there? No, that's what. Can I just. Family, can we just say this? When we were growing up, there used to be a table that sit right here. Where's the table? You don't have the table anymore? Who? It's to do this in remembrance of me table. Every church have it right here in the front. All right? Don't worry about it, Pastor. You have, Pastor said we don't have the space. Listen, when we were growing up, you couldn't touch that table. Somebody said, you still can't. Only ordained deacons could touch that table. Well, when I was a kid, I remember looking around. While that parents having choir rehearsal downstairs. And guess what? I'm still alive. I know we can laugh about that now, but man, it was a big deal because we thought, hold on, young people, you think this is true. We were never allowed to come up here when we were growing up. No, I mean as a kid, you couldn't come up here. No, you couldn't come up here because this is the holy place. Come on, Catholics, help me out. Come on, Catholics, help me out. This is the holy place, and this is the most holy place right here, and the pastor study is the most holy place. Right? No, come on. You know why we're laughing about it? Because right now, especially at our age, it sounds so silly. But this is what we were taught. Wait a minute, young people, but where two or three are gathered. See? You remember when we say teach them, but teach them why, right? But when two or three are gathered, can you imagine that when both of you get together and pray or talk about God, the whole host of angels take over the environment that you're in? That's amazing, right? No, listen, that's why we cannot tell our kids that the sanctuary in this place, what I mean the sanctuary we grow up in, this is where God is. Then when we leave, does he stay here? Or does he come back with us? No, church people, are you understanding? My whole point of bringing that whole thing about is because I want you to understand that Jesus is real. No. Listen, I wish I had the week. I'm going to come back. Don't say he's everywhere. It's going to confuse them. Jesus is powerful. He sends his Holy Spirit to be everywhere with us. I'm being technical for a specific reason. We know God is everywhere, but I want to be more specific for our young people to understand that when he left, he sent his Holy Spirit and said that I'm going to send with you so that when we are doing our foolishness, you can hear the Holy Spirit talk to us, telling us what's right, what's wrong. Listen to this, young people. You all know this. You're driving down the street. You hear something say, don't go down this street. Take the long way. You're waiting on the train. Train empty. Something tell you, don't get on this one. Step back and wait for the next train to come. When you have a relationship with Jesus, the whole voice of the Holy Spirit gets louder and louder and louder, and you begin to hear what he's saying. I'm going to say something that's going to frighten our young people. Mothers, right, that's connected to the Holy Spirit know everything you're doing. Sorry, but I had to say it. Fathers, we don't have that. Mothers, know when you're cutting school. Mothers know when. Listen, mothers have this thing with Jesus. Like they sit down and be like, what are they going to do next? I got you. Don't worry about it. Mothers have that. They got a seventh. Now you mad at the next door neighbor because you said, how does she know? How she know what's going on? They don't need to have your phones. They don't need to know what your password is. Mothers got this crazy Holy Spirit instinct. It burns somewhere around here in their bellies. Mothers, am I right? I mean, it's true. So sometimes you say, oh, somebody told on me. Ain't nobody tell on you. That's the Holy Spirit talking to mothers being like, hey, do me a favor. Holy Spirit tell you, go home 2 hours early. Catch him in this, that, and the other. That's the Holy Spirit. Look out. Look at everybody now. Oh, boy, we got to pray now. Pray now. Look at why y'all checking your phones. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Now, listen to me carefully now. Have a relationship with Jesus when you understand that he's not a magic man. But God all by himself, it changes your whole aura about who he is. If you're failing in school, he'll pick up the slack. Can I just talk to the young people for a second? See this brain right here? It don't work too good. As older as you get, it don't work too good. You guys got the sponge brains. I decide I'm going to go back to school. I want to do mental health counseling. When I first opened the book, y'all not hearing me. I thought we were going to be family. You all are laughing at me, and I'm feeling a little bad at that. When I opened the book, I said, what is this? Are these real words? Do I have to memorize all of these things? The brain don't work. Seriously, the brain don't work the way it used to work, young people. Right now. Pick out somebody. This lady right here. How are you? God bless you. Right here. I want you to recite a poem from the time you were like 3-4 years old. Listen, I guarantee you. Ready? No, don't tell me you can't remember. Think about it, even if you should start it. Even if you should start it. Ready? Here we go.
Can't remember.
I don't know a poem called Can't Remember, but we no, no, think about it. Hey, no, not you. You're too young.
I was just reciting to myself, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears from Julius Caesar.
From Julius Caesar? You couldn't even give me a Jesus one. You're going to give me a Roman one that's out there. No, no, no. But seriously, if you start to think back now, there's a lot of people here sitting back now thinking, I remember whatever form, tree form, four form, six form, whatever it is. And you start remembering those things. Every Friday night was, and God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Listen to me, young people. Watch this. Psalms 91. Give it to me. Start. Are you understanding this? Listen to me. All you need to do on a Sabbath is put up Psalms 91 media people up here and the person start. Everybody's going to be like, we don't need that. We know it by heart. Some of the songs that we sing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, right? I don't have a problem with rap and all that. All you need to do is listen to the words to find out what's foolishness and what's not. I know I'm trying to pour everything into one day, but I want you to know when you have a relationship with Jesus, listen to me carefully now. Listen, I'll be back at the end of the year or next year, but I want you to understand this. I no longer preach jewelry. I no longer preach music and dress and all of that. I introduce my young people to Jesus Christ. And when you introduce them to Jesus Christ, they start to change. There's something about them. Hold on, not just them. You too, hypocrites. We all are in the same boat together. The closer and closer. Now you're doing your Sabbath school lesson and you're talking about Daniel now. Now you remember what the Adventist church is really about. Makes you straighten up your attitude. The relationship you have with Jesus Christ will bring you around people. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, don't hang with that one. Don't hang with that one. Don't hang with that one. I used to hang with some bad boys back in the day. And my mother would say, bring me your friends. Oh, you know that one too, huh? Right. And you know what I used to do? Y'all, stay here. Let me go get whatever I got to get and come back. For the day your mother see your company, they know right away off the bat, this is the wrong people that you need to bring. But imagine when you have that sense early in your life. You will become millionaires because you're hanging with millionaires. Everything will start to change about you when you're around the right people. Let's get into this real quick before I start telling stories about me and Sister Maureen Smith. Let's just keep moving here. Oh, you know who she is? Maureen Smith. Maureen Smith. That was my best friend in college. No. Men can have a female best friends. She's my dude. Y'all don't understand that. Don't worry about that. Let me tell you something. When Jesus, now I want you to think of Jesus totally different now so we can get out of here on this. Jesus comes in and he's leaving Passover and he's now at a gate. What I want you to do now is try to take every little piece and put it together because I can't preach it now. He passes by and he sees all these people who are sick. They all heard a story about if the angel comes down and touches the water, the first person to get into the water would be healed. All right? I don't want to get into all the theological side, Doc. I don't want to go there right now. But what I want you to understand is that the story got around so much that for years, sick people have been coming, waiting for an angel to come to touch the water. We never heard this anywhere in the Old Testament, nowhere ever. And touch the water. And if you can get into that pool first, you'll be saved. I mean, you'll be healed. Are we together? Come on. I can't explain it. We never heard anything about it before, but it's written there. So I'm going to tell you about it. Jesus shows up and Spirit of prophecy says that he wanted to heal everyone. Come on, young people, listen to me carefully. But if he had healed everyone, they would have killed him earlier. Did you hear? Remember now, God is on a time limit. Everything he puts together in prophecy lands on the same time. What he says is going to happen. He's supposed to die at this time. He recognized that if he became God and healed everybody at that one point, they would kill him earlier. So he couldn't do it. Meanwhile, listen to this. It's close by the sheep gate. The sheep gate is a place where they bring the sheep in so that they could slit its throat so it could cover the sins of the people. Oh, boy. Come on. This is deep. Yet as they're talking there, Jesus sees a man. When Jesus walks up to the man, Jesus says, "Will thou be made whole?" Yeah, that's a simple question. It's real simple. Will thou be made whole? The man starts to make excuses and says what? Man, if I just had someone to put me in the pool. If I could just get somebody to put me in a pool, how great it would be. Now, I'm going to want you to understand this real quick, that the pool was not really a pool. What it was a place that they constructed so that when it rains, they will get rainwater to fill the people in the temple. The water was not for them. It was for the temple people, church people. They wanted that water. You know what that water is. Don't act like you don't know. You use pipe now. Back in the day, it used to be zinc. You used to use the zinc from off the top and then fill up in the water there. This is what it was. And what they were waiting on, I want you to understand this, that the temple water, they felt just because it's going to the temple, they would have been healed. Are you listening? Come on, church. I'm making a statement here about our church. It was called the Pool of Bethesda. If you look at the last three letters, it's SDA. The Pool of Bethesda means this, Pool of Mercy. Man, let me tell you something. We serve a God who has mercy. Amen. Young people, listen to me. This coronavirus started because of sin. I don't want to get into political or any of those type of things. All I know is that sin have brought these things about. Are we still together? Yeah. Now I want to hear this, that when Jesus walks up to this man, will thou be made whole? But I don't have anybody to put me in the water. Yo, do you know who I am? Do you understand that you are looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Hold on. Back up, young people. This is the same guy back in Genesis that said, let us make man. Stop looking at him as some kind of magic man. He's not magical. He's God. This is the same God that said, let there be light. And there was light. He's talking to someone who has been down on his luck for 38 years. Listen to me, young people. And he says to him, will thou be made whole? He doesn't even know what whole means. He's been down for so long that he doesn't even understand what it means to be down. Guess what? Don't be mad at me when I tell you this. You know how Jesus healed people and he says that your faith will make you whole? This man's faith did not make him whole. He had no faith. Man, I'm trying to let you understand how good God is. That God could bypass. Even when we don't have faith, God can bypass that. Jesus bypassed that. Oh, please tell me. God has answered some things for you that you ain't even pray about. Come on, Christians. You know what I'm talking about. Don't fake in front of our young people. God has done something for you that you ain't even ask him for. He had no faith. All I want somebody to do is to put me in that water over there. The problem with our young people right now is that they're looking for something to happen. They're looking, musician, for a great song to be played before they could come to the altar. They're looking for a youth week of prayer in order for something to happen. Come on. They're looking for the pastor to come up with this great sermon in order for us to say yes. They're waiting for a stirring of the water. We got to get out of this magical thing of waiting for the stirring of the water and understand that God shows up on time. Amen. He is a God that understands everything that you have gone through, can answer any questions that you ever been through before. And we have to be able to teach each other, not just our young people, that God is the answer for everything that we do. Will you be made whole? Hey, tell me how to do it. But because of our humanness, we don't know even how to ask. We don't. That's why, men, we cry too. And when that drop falls from a man's eye, the Holy Spirit picks it up. And the Holy Spirit starts to interpret those things that we can't even say. Will thou be made whole? He didn't even have faith. Jesus says to him, get up. Y'all not hearing me. Pick up your bed and walk. Y'all not hearing me. Jesus looks at him. He says, rise. Listen, just think about this. The mat didn't mean anything. The bed didn't mean anything. And the walk didn't mean anything. He's been in this situation for 38 years. All he had to do was pay attention to the first thing Jesus said. The first thing he says is rise. I can imagine him saying, rise? I don't even know what rise is anymore. But something starts to happen in his body. Circulation starts coming back. I don't know how old he is, but all I know, for 38 years, when you're stuck for 38 years in fake Christianity, that's what you're going to be. When you're fake for 38 years, not understanding what Jesus is all about, then you're living on your own. Now everything starts to come together for him, and he rises up, and Jesus walks away from him. The spirit of prophecy says he walks away from him. He picks up his bed. He picks up his bed and he starts to walk healed. Listen, I'm going to come to an end on this. I'm going to need you here. I'm going to come down to an end on this. When he comes down to the people see him. The people say to themselves, that can't be the same young man that I knew. But they identify him by his mat. Pastor, why you said that to me just now? That's, I'm not, you heard me? They never seen him walk before. So this can't be the man. But on the flip side of it, that's his bed. And what makes it so bad, thanks, Pastor, and I'll end up on this. I'm going to need you, musician. I'm going to need you on here. What makes it so bad that all of this happened on the Sabbath day? You know why I said it made it so bad? So bad that it made it, he did it on the Sabbath day. How dare you heal someone on the Sabbath day? Those of you who live here in this beautiful New York, you just walk into a Jewish hospital. They have what you call a Sabbath elevator. They have a Sabbath elevator because if they press the button on the Sabbath, it's a sin. Jewish Hasidics, we're coming down to an end. Jewish Hasidics, when they walk and their watch tell them that they've reached a certain mileage, they have to stop and sit down and wait for the Sabbath to end before they can get back up and walk. Listen to me. We used to go, I used to live in Canarsie, Brooklyn, and when it came for the Sabbath, they used to ask us to come and turn their lights on and off for them. I see us shaking our heads. But guess what, saints? We're no better than them. We got to get to the place of understanding that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Come on. I love the Sabbath, by the way. Let me go back and say it this way. Whatever God shows you, play. Music minister, whatever it is. Let me explain something to you. I didn't like the Sabbath when I was growing up. Okay, if you did, hypocrites, it's fine. I didn't like it because they told us everything we could not do on the Sabbath. But when I have a relationship with Jesus, come on, you know what I mean, workers. Anybody here that work hours a day? Anybody here that sweat when they work? Anybody here that have anxiety when they work? Whatever the case may be, you know the Sabbath is different than the way it used to be. You know why you came to church today? The virus ain't keeping you away. Half of you said, virus? Oh, what that? Virus? When you know you came here to meet the Master? No, seriously, I know we ought to take precautions. But let me tell you something. If I was taking a vacation, I'm going. If somebody tell me the virus is at the BMW dealership and I want that car, I'm going. It's what you want. No, I'm serious about that. You're sitting here today because it didn't frighten you. You're sitting here today because you had enough of the week. You had enough of CNN. You had enough of Fox News. You had enough of MSNBC. You had enough of all these things. All we heard this week is negative, 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 negative. And no, I said we ought to take precautions, but you came out here simply because the fellowship of people who believe in Jesus. It makes all the difference in the world. And I want to share this with you. The easiest way to make it to the kingdom is by listening to the word of God. When he says, rise up, don't worry about the bed and walk. Just rise up. Just rise. Don't worry about what anybody's going to say about you, because young people, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. People are going to talk about you. Ain't that the same one? Ain't that the same person? Is that the same bed? Is that the same whatever? Maybe like, yeah, but I'm different. If God could change Maureen. Look at her looking at me. No. Maureen, I'll tell you a story. This is true. Now, we used to rain havoc on Oakwood campus. A whole bunch of us, not just me and her. We used to run amok out there. That's how I met my wife. She's sitting right there. guess what, young people? This is true. And I'll end on this. This is true. I remember going into a church to preach, Pastor. Years later, a girl walks up to me. She says, "You're preaching today?" I say, "Yeah, I'm preaching. How are you doing? How are you doing?" She said, "I'm not listening to you." No, walk out. Gone. The despair that you feel when you say, "Wow, people remember your foolishness." No, listen, I'm not mad at her. Young people remember. You still have to walk with the foolishness. You still have to live with it. You're changed, but you still got to live with it. Oh, come on, y'all. It's true. You want to sleep around? You'll get AIDS, but you'll be saved. You get to the kingdom, but you want to smoke and vape and do all these things? Your lungs will collapse. It will. But Jesus will forgive you, but your lungs will stay the same. Right? The consequences are still there. Even though Jesus steps in and says, "Rise up and walk," you're still carrying the same bed. All I want to do for you today, I want to pray for you today. Well, I know I wish I had all week to talk to my young people. But I want you to understand that we serve a God. When you read through this thing, we serve a God who has mercy. I want to pray for those today who's looking to rise. I'm going to ask you to come to the front. I just want to pray with you right now. So you know what? I'm listening for that same voice for God to say to me, Jesus to say to me, "Rise." I want you to come to the front. I want to pray for you. When people come to the front, I usually hug them and all of that, but I just want to shake your hand. We'll wash our hands later, but this to me is the biggest celebration we can have right here. I know we don't want to be in close proximity because of this thing, but forget it. Jesus is in the building. Not just for our young people, for all of us. When he says, "Do you want to be made whole?" You ought to say, "Yes. Jesus, I want to be made whole." Wherever you are. If you are. There's a young person here today. Pastor has given me the opportunity to come back next week. Thank you, Pastor. Please pray for me. I have problems. We all have problems in the building. All of us have problems in the building. I know somebody's going to meet me outside and talk about oxtail and all of that. Listen, saints, I ask God, it's true. I ask God, "God, there has to be something equivalent to oxtail in the kingdom." Equivalent. But we all have our struggles, whether it's diet, whether it's people we ought not be hanging out with, whether we're listening to the wrong thing. Do you want to be made whole? Yes. Father, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to rise. Man, God, you're just awesome. To rise, really? I don't know what that is, but I'm going to do it anyway just because you said so. Rise. I ask you to be with these young people. Watch them on the praise team. You watch them do their thing. God, instill within them your Holy Spirit. Because victory will never fail when our young people know who you are. And for those of us who continue to go through this struggle from day after day, God, I ask you for your mercy. The pool of Bethesda, the word Bethesda means the house of mercy. Turn victory into the house of mercy, God. I ask you, God, as our pastor continues to lead in this church, I ask you that he would always commit to you, Jesus. One more thing I ask you for, God, is that we'll not be ashamed of the gospel. Whatever we do, whatever we say, we may line ourselves up with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And at the end, forget about the bed right now, but God, that we may walk in your spirit that changes our talk, it changes our look. I ask you, God, that we will walk in your spirit. We pray this, come on, Adventists, Pentecostals, come on. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Let the people of God say amen. Come on, let the people of God say amen. Hallelujah. For he's worthy to be praised. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.